Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And I'm Tom O'Neill.
Yes, we are joined by my good friend, and I can say that now that I've actually met Tom in real life, a friend of the podcast. We love having one of our Oscars and Emmys podcast, Tom O'Neill from GoldDerby.com.
Yes, and Matt, of course, is one of our senior editors, so you're outnumbered here, Jonathan, 2-1.
Yeah, it's a Gold Derby domination of screen verdicts.
There you go.
We'll see where Matt's allegiances lie. Gold Derby or screen verdict by the end of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, we will find that out. So, we're here to talk the Emmy Awards. It took us a bit by surprise, Tom. We were all feeling like, oh, yeah, we've got heaps of time to do our Emmys podcast. We just did the Video Music Awards one. Like, the Emmys aren't for another month or so. But they're on this Monday night.
They snuck up on us.
Yeah, we've been ambushed.
Mm-hmm.
Why are the Emmys on a Monday night? Why are they at the end of August, not the end of September? What's the go here?
Well, we really don't have the answers to all those questions. We know that they wanted to move it out of September, they being NBC, the broadcaster, because they have football games that they want to broadcast instead. Traditionally, it's the second or third Sunday in September. But so they said, oh, therefore we have to move it up into August. But they don't move it up to August to a Sunday. They move it up to August to a Monday. So that makes you think, well, why didn't they leave it in September and just put it on a Monday then? So, and they don't seem to have an answer to that. I think the real answer is the broadcast industry is so pissed off at the Emmys for charging them $7 million to broadcast the Emmys in terms of license fees to broadcast an award that they don't win. Because cable wins everything. NBC doesn't win anything. They have hope to win maybe one Emmy all night, and it'll be maybe for The Voice. So they're saying, well, why are we writing this check? We're getting screwed. And, of course, they deserve the punishment for putting on crappy TV. That's the real answer.
So it's not that they heard I had a research project due at the end of September for college, and they thought, oh, we'll put it a bit out of the way so Matt doesn't have to write heaps of Emmy stuff at the same time he's writing his research.
Well, that was the consideration. But there not the foremost one, I'm sorry. So.
Okay. Jonathan, how do you feel about this move?
Oh, gee, I just have... you tell me when stuff's going on, Matt. I feel like you've dropped the ball here. You're my insider into the industry, and you say, hey, Jono, the Emmys are on in like 4 days. Oh, what do you mean they're on in 4 days?
Yeah. I was very good this year of sending you an email when the MTV Video nominations came out. And I was so proud that we were doing that one ahead of time, because usually that's the one which is a rush. And then I realized that the Emmys were on in less than a week. So I sent you a Facebook message saying, oh yeah, Jonathan, the Emmys are on on the weekend. We're gonna do this podcast now. So thank you, Jonathan, for coming at the last minute, and for Tom for coming at the last minute too. This year we've got Seth Meyers hosting the Emmys. Jonathan, are you pumped for Seth Meyers?
Yeah, I like Seth Meyers. He had a pretty good episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And that was the last thing I saw him in. So if that's anything to go by, I don't know how similar hosting the Emmys is to a web series, but I'm going to give him the stamp of approval. I'm looking forward to it.
Tom?
I like him. I agree that he's fun and cool and all that, but he's awfully laid back. You know, he's kind of just the guy with the Cheshire cat smirk in the back of the room, you know, the classroom, and shooting paper wads at the teacher. But he's not the one who grandstands and takes over the classroom like Jimmy Fallon or something. So I hope that we see a more energetic side to him.
Yeah, it sounds like he's got the perfect laid back attitude for like getting a coffee with someone.
right.
But I don't mind Seth Meyers. I'm pretty interested to see how he goes here. But I will be honest, I was just a little disappointed because I was expecting it to be Jimmy Fallon, who did such a good job last time. I think he did the best job of hosting it years ago.
Absolutely.
So it was more disappointment that it wasn't Jimmy Fallon than disappointment with Seth Meyers.
Mm-hmm.
That was more my read on him. But look, he's now being given the stage. And I guess it's in his hands how we feel about Seth Meyers hosting the Emmys. If he does a great job, knocks it out of the park, I think we'll be pretty stoked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know when, to be fair, I know when Jimmy Fallon was chosen 4 years ago, I was a bit disappointed that it wasn't Conan, because Conan had done such a good job at the Emmys the 4 years before that. So Seth Meyers might be my favorite if he follows that Jimmy Fallon, Conan O'Brien streak.
Yeah, he may be the next host of The Tonight Show if he really follows it closely, that trajectory.
Yes. So get ready. 30 years.
Jimmy, watch your back. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's talk about the categories. Let's break them down. We're going to do lead. We're going to do series races. Very exciting. And we thought we'd kick things off with comedy. And I'm going to tell you the actresses that are nominated for comedy this year. Some pretty heavy hitters. And for lead actress in a comedy series, we have nominated Lena Dunham from Girls, Edie Falco from Nurse Jackie, Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Veep, Melissa McCarthy from Mike and Molly, Amy Poehler from Parks and Recreation, and Taylor Schilling from Orange is the New Black. Jonathan, first reactions when you see that lineup.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus is in the race, and then there's some other people. She's got the buzz from Veep. Veep just builds and builds. Each season gets better and better. Every year people keep on going, wow, look how good a job Julie Louis-Dreyfus has done at breaking away from Seinfeld. She's no longer just Elaine. She's building another character that everybody loves. And it's a rather mediocre field. I'm not that big a fan of Lena Dunham. She just plays an annoying version of herself in real life. What's her name? Melissa McCarthy and Edie Falco, they're just kind of mainstays of the category, just kind of making up the numbers.
Former winners.
Yeah. No one's really interested in those shows anymore. I think an interesting one is Taylor Schilling, because a lot of people like Orange is the New Black. Everyone's talking about Orange is the New Black, especially because it's got new episodes coming out. I personally think that her character of Piper is the worst thing about the show, and I think even the show realizes that, because if you watch season two, she's no longer really the lead in the show. So even though I think there's buzz for the show, I don't think she's really a contender here. It's all Julia for me.
What about Amy Poehler? You've just not mentioned her at all.
I'm a big fan of Amy Poehler, and she's due. She is due, so that's a good point, but I don't know. She seems to be another one of those people that is there to fill up the numbers.
Tom, what do you think about that analysis? What do you think about this field?
Well, Julia B. Dreyfus has never lost this race for Veep. She's 2 for 2. She's also won for Seinfeld in supporting, and she won for New Adventures of Old Christine in lead. So she's obviously the favorite here. Her episode was really fantastic that she submitted to the Emmy jury. It's the one where she's in the bathroom with Tony Hale. He sprouts a nosebleed when they hear the news that the president's about to resign and she's going to become president. It's absolute perfect submission for her. But as you and I know, Matt, because we follow this stuff episode by episode submission, and it's all about the episodes, the big sleeper here is Melissa McCarthy. She pulled off an upset here in 2011 for Mike and Molly. She could easily do it again. Her episode is a submission about her dealing late in life with the death of her father when she was 10. It tugs at your heartstrings. It's funny and warm. And then it ends, the big finale of the episode is her on the swing set with Mike at the end, toasting the spirit of her dead dad. It really wins your heart. I could see an upset here, but I'm going to stick with Julia. What about you?
I'm sticking with Julia. They love her. She is great. She's iconic. She's, you know, and she's so great in Veep every year. This Melissa McCarthy, a little bit concerned about her, but I'm not sure if this is a two-time Emmy-winning character. I'm just not feeling like there's really a need to give it to her. And I think Julia's so funny in hers, they're going to have to go with Julia here. That's my call. You know, crying over your dead dad. Yeah, it could maybe win you some votes, but hopefully not enough to help Tiny Howe with his nosebleed. I think the nosebleed beats the dead dad in this category.
Right, right. And Melissa McCarthy had Bridesmaids the last time she won. She was riding that whole bump of popularity. Yeah. She doesn't have that. The last movie she just had out a few weeks ago bombed.
Yeah. Now, Taylor Schilling's an interesting one from Orange. And Jonathan, do you want to tell you the episode she submitted from the first season? It's a pretty interesting one.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's The Chickening. Do you remember that one where she's looking for the chicken all episode? Do you think, Jonathan, from the strength of that, that could overcome the nosebleed? Looking for the chicken.
From what I remember, that was a great episode for Kate Mulgrew's character, Red, someone who's normally very serious and you would think quite logical and ruthless, and she believes in this mythical chicken that's smarter than all the other chickens, and I thought it was a great episode for her. Piper's character, I think it was not bad, but perhaps not the standout that she's going to need to take down Julia.
Yeah, I think you're going to need more than looking for a chicken to beat Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
It's a terrible submission for her. I don't know why she picked it. It's horrible.
Is it because it's sort of like it's a little funny? It's a bit more funny than dramatic for her? Cause
she doesn't do anything. She has one scene where she's on the phone and kind of cries a little bit. That's it. There's nothing in the whole episode. She has lots of other big, great options from the season to show her acting chops. She didn't pick them.
Mm. And Lena Dunham has submitted the Beach House episode where she's at sort of her most annoying.
She is.
Really. Like, yeah, she's just being a real... whatever word you would like to use about...
B-I-T-C-H.
Yeah, that's one you could use. I was trying to think, oh, are any of these words misogynistic? I don't know. I'm just going to not say. I'm just going to let people use the word they'd like to use at home.
Poochie.
But, yeah. Yeah, but anyway, just shouting at everyone and having a bit of a very selfish rant. So, don't think Lena Dunham's going to win it either. Should we move along to comedy actor now?
Yeah.
Okay. We've got Don Cheadle from House of Lies.
Who cares? Move out, man.
Not House of Cards. Not House of... It's the House of Lies. I made that mistake when interviewing Ben Schwartz from House of Lies. I accidentally called it House of Cards halfway through the interview.
What did he say?
He said, oh, it's actually House of Lies. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry, House of Lies. And he said, oh, we get it all the time.
Because people actually talk about that show.
Yeah. Yeah, in Emmy chats, we're so used to talking about House of Cards. It's just, but anyway, we've got Louis C.K. for Louis. We've got Ricky Gervais from Derek. We've got Matt LeBlanc from Episodes. We've got William H. Macy from Shameless. And Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory. So, Jonathan, you weren't too stoked with the comedy actress lineup. Are you more wowed by the comedy actor lineup?
Well, not really. This is basically a list of the overrated actors in comedy for me. Louis, everyone's all about Louis these days. I just don't get it. It's not funny. It's just sad and depressing. He just goes, oh, I'm a fat guy, and nothing works out for me because no one else seems to get how cynical I am and why I should be cynical about things. Like, no one cares. Ricky Gervais. Obviously, The Office is genius, but I think his career has just gone horribly downhill since then. Extras was kind of good. Then Ghost Town was all right. The Invention of Lying was pretty bad. I don't know what it is with Ricky Gervais that he seems to, because he just annoys me, not because he's that bad, but because he seems to think he's so good. Like, he'll go on show that thing like Talking Funny, and he'll talk down to Jerry Seinfeld. And I'm like, do you know who that is? This is Jerry Seinfeld. He did a show that was better than yours, and he did it for 9 seasons of 20 episodes rather than 12 good episodes you did on The Office. Anyway, Rand, and Jim Parsons, can we please stop giving these guys Emmys? This show is awful. But I don't know who to give it to. Do we not have any viable contenders? I'm traumatized. If I wasn't a fan of the last category, this one has me truly traumatized, Matt.
So, who would you vote for here, Jonathan? If you've got the ballot, you've got these six names, who are you ticking off here?
I think if I voted for Don Cheadle, just to annoy Tom, that would be funnier than any performance given by any of these actors.
That would do it.
Oh my gosh. Tom, how do you feel about this lineup?
Oh, it's not the most exciting thing of all time. Parsons, yeah, he's won three out of the last 4 years, enough already. His episode this year is really bad. But he won for a bad one last year, too, a big yawn. I don't know how he pulled that off. But the big surprise here is Ricky Gervais. And here I'm going to contradict myself from what we just said about the lead actress race. Here we have another episode about somebody dealing with the death of their dad. And it's Ricky Gervais. In his episode, he plays this emotionally stunted caregiver at a nursing home. And his dad, who neglected him, comes in as a patient, and they kind of reconcile. His dad now needs him as he exits life and he dies. And I don't like the series at all. I think Derek is an awful series. This episode is fantastic. It's really transporting. It's emotional. It's just beautifully directed, written, produced, everything. It's just magical. And I think if they watch the episodes, if you have a heart of any sort, you're going to just be utterly won over. This is a performance. This is a real acting performance. You really believe it. It has a payoff that just knocks you out. But that said, I don't think a lot of people are going to watch it because the whole thing is so off-putting. It sounds mentally retarded in a kind of goofy way that you don't believe. So you're kind of offended that Ricky's even doing this role. I don't know. So where do you come down, Matt? Who's going to upset by Ricky or Jim again?
Day after nominations came out, or the morning the nominations came out, I picked Ricky to win. And I'm sticking with Ricky. Yeah, I just thought, looking at this lineup, which we have said is a bit of a disappointing lineup, it's not the strongest Emmy race, this one. Ricky has upset here before, so we know they like him. He did it for Extras.
In 2007.
This performance, this character of Derek, is a lot more sympathetic than anything we've seen from him before. So he's showing us he can do something new. He's going to surprise voters when they put this show in. They're going to go, oh, man, I didn't know Ricky Gervais could do something like this. This isn't the cynical, jerk in The Office or cynical sort of actor and Extras or whatever. This is a very naive, lovable, huggable character. So I think that's going to surprise them in a way. And it feels like it's in acting.
It
more
does.
Than any other Thor's War. It was like, oh, he's acting. And it's sort of like in a sweet sort of comedic sort of way that it's not like very, it's not like, oh, why is this in the comedy races? Like, I just feel like it ticks a lot of boxes that voters are going to like in this tough year. And I know, before I said in the last category, the dead dad wasn't enough. But Julia Louis-Dreyfus isn't in this category.
Yes, that's the difference, right?
Jim
Parsons is. And I agree with you. Ricky's going to win here. But we're contradicting each other, ourselves. Don't you understand that? The logic we're using to say Ricky will win here should be the same logic that we use for comedy actors, and we don't. We wimp out there. And I'm with you.
I don't think Jim Parsons is respected to the level of Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Okay, maybe so.
Like, I don't know, that's just, but you are right, like, he's won three for this character.
And look, if Ricky doesn't win, he's going to come over and kick our asses. Because, Ricky had really gave, no, he didn't show up in 2007 when he won for Extras because he didn't think he could win. So he kind of just keeps this whole thing at a distance. Well, he found on his own, just snooping around Gold Derby, that we, the editors, predicted him to win, whereas the experts did not. They were going with Parsons. So I get a message from him asking, why do we think this? And I explain it's the episode, and I give him my logic. And he goes, wow. So then all of a sudden we did a video webcam with him, a Google Hangout, and that went very well. And then he contacted me and said, I want to do another chat. I want to keep campaigning. So what? I want to do a Twitter chat this time. So I went, okay. So we did. We interviewed him by Twitter. It was a blast. He has 5 million followers. He had them all watching. And it was hilarious. He took his shirt off. He's posing for these goofy pictures, dangling out a window. When I was asking him, you know, silly questions, I was asking him questions like, you know, when is it ever okay to kill for an Emmy? And, you know, he's having fun with all this crazy shit. And so now he really believes that we know what we're talking about. He's going to win. So, Matt, if that envelope gets open on Monday and he loses, we got to run and hide. Because Ricky will find us.
Boy. Okay. I'll get ready. I'll get my sneakers, get my Nike sneakers ready and ready to run. But to be honest, if Ricky Gervais and Julia Louis-Dreyfus win, boy, that's a great showing for Gold Derby, because I'm not sure if we've got any too big of fans in Hollywood than right. Ricky Gervais and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Right. They follow everything we do. Matter of fact, Julia even thanked Gold Derby in her acceptance speech for the TV Critics Association Award.
Yeah.
She didn't thank us. She didn't thank them. Yeah. Well, she kind of thanked them, but she thanked us first.
Yeah, and she's done 20 web chats for the past 6 months.
I know. She does it for like an hour. She sits down and gives us her afternoon.
It's so good. I got a chance to do one of them with her last year with you, Tom, and that was up there. That'd be my top 3 or 4 chats. It's really, she was so nice and fun and stuff.
Yeah.
Jonathan, any final thoughts on this category?
Have we persuaded you?
So, well, I would vote, if I were predicting, I'd pick Ricky just on star power, but I'm not a fan. I'm not sold on the performance. I'm trying to keep this a little quick because we've got some time constraints today. So Matt, what's the series nominees?
Comedy series. It's an interesting lineup. It is The Big Bang Theory, Louis, Modern Family, Orange is the New Black, Silicon Valley, and Veep. Jonathan, initial thoughts.
Modern Family is sort of the Jim Parsons of the comedy series. Yeah, like, I see the appeal. I've grown. It's grown on me a little bit, but I'm still tired of seeing it win Emmys. For me, it really comes down to Silicon Valley, Orange is the New Black, and Veep. I think Orange is the New Black was very smart to nominate themselves for comedy, because drama is just stacked this year, as we'll see in a minute. And the fact that it's going to have twice the runtime as everything else, it's more likely for people to remember it when they're watching the episodes. Silicon Valley got a bit of buzz, new show, HBO, but unfortunately it's in the same category as Veep, which is HBO comedy show that's twice as good. For me, Veep is the runaway winner here.
Okay, Tom.
That could happen. As you said earlier in this podcast, Jonathan, it's been gaining strength every year, and it's now going into its third season. This is being nominated here for its third season. It finally got that crucial writing nomination, which it normally needs to win. It didn't have that in the past. You need writing or directing, so it's got all the tea leaves. This is the three-way race. Modern Family has never lost. It's 4-for-4. One more win, it ties Frasier's record for the most. Orange is the New Black is the hot new kid on the block, and it just dropped its second season in the last few weeks. Hollywood is plastered with promotions. It's the thing everybody's talking about. It's the cool thing. This is a close three-way race, and I'm picking Modern Family because I think it needs fewer votes to win this time. I think if it's going to win a two-way race, it's usually in a two-way race all the time, then this time it wins a three-way race. I don't know. Maybe it's lazy predicting. What do you think, Matt?
Well, it is lazy predicting, but it's smart. It's smart. It's smart predicting. It's your safe money is on Modern Family. They've won the past 4 years. A lot of people said this season was a better season of Modern Family this year, so they haven't had a like creative dive that would maybe The West Wing did in season 5, and West Wing not as good this year. Let's move on. And the question is, has Veep or Orange is the New Black gotten enough? Have they done enough to overtake it? And I think your smart money would be on no. That being said, I'm predicting Veep. because I think they're very close. And they could be at that tipping point where there's just a bit of fatigue for Modern Family, where Veep has now this year, they got as many acting nominations as Modern Family did, which, you know, would have been unheard of 2 years ago when Modern Family was just, like, getting every nomination in supporting actor and things like that. And it's just, I don't know, I just feel like if a show's going to beat it, it's going to be Veep because it's a show that has been getting in every year. We know it's a show the Academy likes. They're sort of embracing it a bit more as an ensemble with those acting nominations. And it sort of feels like the smart show, which is very comedic and funny. And I just think that's the show to beat it. I think Orange is the New Black is in some ways a bit of, in itself, the New Black, the hot new show at the Emmys.
Yeah.
But I just think it might be a bit too dramatic. It might skew a bit young and a bit female for the older male Academy demographics. But Modern Family, if it wins its fifth Best Comedy Series award, its ties with Frasier, it's won that more than any other comedy series other than Frasier. As good as Modern Family can be at times, it's not one of the two best comedy series of all time. It shouldn't win.
No, it shouldn't. It doesn't deserve to. But look, we're talking about a group of voters that gave The Daily Show 10 in a row for variety series. They're just lazy. They just keep checking off the same boxes.
Yeah, well, hopefully this year there's a surprise. Jonathan?
Yeah, I think they're not that similar, but I think of the three, Veep and Orange is the New Black are probably more similar. And I think Tom's right, it could draw votes, split votes, and Modern Family end up taking it. But I'm going to stick with Veep. I'm going to give it my vote of confidence and say it wins.
Yeah, get that screen verdict momentum behind me.
The SV bump.
Okay. Let's go to the drama races now. This time we'll start with drama lead actor, since we've got the ladies first for comedy races. And this race, we've got three-time past champ Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad, last year's winner Jeff Daniels from The Newsroom, six-time loser Jon Hamm from Mad Men, former Emmy winner from Cheers Woody Harrelson for True Detective, hot off his Oscar win, Matthew McConaughey for True Detective, and Kevin Spacey, two-time Oscar winner, zero-time Emmy winner, I think, from House of Cards. I'm right, Tom. Kevin hasn't won an Emmy before, has he?
Correct, he has not.
Yeah, okay, good. Jonathan, what do you think about the drama men? Better than the comedy men?
Stat, this is not just the best category this year. This is the best acting category I can think of in the history of the Emmys. This is
wrong.
There's no Michael Bartlett here. There's no Martin Sheen.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have that category without a West Wing actor.
Exactly, Jonathan. What about the year you had Martin Sheen from The West Wing? James Spader from, I'm not sure if they were in the same race, actually, ever. But anyway, like, you had your James
Spader.
You had your James Mandolini.
Depth.
You had your Martin Sheens. You idiot.
Depth, Matt. Unless you're Michael Jordan, I guess you think that Jed Bartlett is the Michael Jordan of TV.
Yeah, Martin Sheen is the Michael Jordan.
But unless you have him on your team, you can't carry a whole category to the best of all time. This is... Where do I start?
Okay.
I mean, True Detective. I was in love with this show. And Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, both proven stars. McConaughey on the biggest wave of all, Oscar win. Everyone loved True Detective. He's a monster in the division. Woody Harrelson could be a bit of a dark horse. So I think maybe people are thinking about McConaughey and forgetting about Harrelson, but he is awesome in that show as well. Cranston, three-time winner. Final season of Breaking Bad. My favorite season of Breaking Bad. That's a huge contender. Kevin Spacey, two-time Oscar winner in a much improved season of House of Cards. I love this season of House of Cards. He's a huge contender. And Jon Hamm. Everyone loves Jon Hamm, and he's due as well. To me, this is legitimately a wide-open race.
Mm. narrow it down for us, Tom. Who do we keep our eyes on?
It's only McConaughey versus Cranston, based on the episode selections. And it's interesting because McConaughey not only has the Oscar, but he's nominated against the co-star. So remember, judges are seeing one sample episode per nominee. That means they're seeing two McConaughey performances, two Harrelson performances, one Cranston. And we know that that often tips the balance toward the person who's nominated against the co-star. That's why, for example, Edie Falco would always win when she was nominated against Lorraine Bracco. Judges would see two performances. Or the Modern Family guys always win because their judges are seeing five, you know, stars performances by Ty Burrell. But anyway, McConaughey has that edge. He also has the edge that he plays two different versions of himself in the show. They like that. They're suckers for that historically. And he has a crying scene at the end. He has all these speeches. We saw Jeff Daniels win last year for a speech. He has all these speeches and a crying scene. Bingo. So that might make him infallible, right? But I'm dumb enough to pick Cranston anyway because I hated True Detective. You're wrong, Jonathan. Everybody did not like True Detective. I thought it was a piece of rotting shit. Overblown, pompous, just boring as can be. And I just kept, get this thing over with. So anyway, I'm the one naysayer there. But Cranston submitted the single greatest episode of one of the greatest series ever on TV. He submitted Ozymandias, his greatest performance of his career. He's got, if they're just voting on the episode submissions here, Cranston's got it. Right, Matt?
Yeah, and I also think where they rank the Emmys on the ballot, Bryan Cranston isn't going to be lower than second or third on anyone's ballot, I would imagine. So that's
McConaughey would be last. No, he'd be second last.
On maybe some. But anyway, like, McConaughey, this is interesting. Like, we know speeches do well, Tom.
I know.
But do illegible speeches help? Like, because Jeff Daniels was very clear when talking about America last year in his tape.
Right.
I couldn't understand a word Matthew McConaughey
said. I couldn't either.
Me and Jonathan had to go online to find that what he actually said after watching the scene about five times together. So I don't know if the speech is going to help McConaughey. I'm actually going to go out on a limb in this category. I think it's all about Woody. I reckon Woody's going to take it out.
Oh, come on. That is bona fide insane.
I think people are going to be cool movie star McConaughey. Can't, like, we're over Cranston. We're giving him three already. Woody Harrelson, he came from TV. He's doing a very different performance to Cheers. He's got two tapes as well. I think this is where they're going to want to surprise us on Emmy night. I think we're going to see maybe a Woody Emmy win.
Jonathan, he's nuts, isn't he?
Well, hey, you're turning to the wrong guy, Tom. I've got a couple bones to pick with you. First, not liking True Detective.
You're trashing on True Detective.
That's insane. And on last year's Emmy podcast, I said Jeff Daniels was my favorite performance, and I thought he would win. And you said, last place. Tom, you have no idea what you're talking about. I'm going to go with in this particular category, I'm going to use the anti-Tom methodology and predict Matthew McConaughey to take it.
That's very good logic.
Okay, so this is interesting. We've got me picking Woody, Tom picking, Brian, and Jonathan picking Matthew. We've got a three-way split on this category.
Yeah.
Now let's see Jeff Daniels win it again.
I know. Yeah, he doesn't have a speech this year.
No, he doesn't. I don't think he's going to win. And Jonathan, just to clarify, I think it was the 2004 Best Actor race that was the best acting race ever at the Emmys. You had James Spader, you had James Gandolfini, you had Martin Sheen, Kiefer Sutherland, and Anthony LaPaglia. That's the best field ever.
Ooh, so, it's solid. I don't know if Kiefer Sutherland and Anthony DiPaolo are on the same level.
They're weakening it. They're definitely not helping. As great as they are.
All right, actress.
Okay, actress, the ladies. We love the ladies at Screen Verdict. Let me just get up the nominees.
Not gay.
okay. Best drama actor. Lizzie Kaplan from Masters of Sex. Claire Danes from Homeland. Michelle Dockery from Downton Abbey. Juliana Margulies, The Good Wife. Kerry Washington, Scandal. And Robin Wright, House of Cards. Jonathan, what do you think?
So I got distracted by text messages and my lack of interest in this category.
Yeah.
Who do we have? I like Robin Wright, just because she's kind of... she plays a pretty good anti-hero in the show, and I really like this season of House of Cards. Who else was there? Throw some names at me, Matt.
Oh, man. Sorry, I was just checking the baseball scores. Lizzie Kaplan, Masters of Sex. Claire Danes from Homeland. Michelle Dockery, Downton Abbey. Juliana Margulies, The Good Wife. And Kerry Washington, Scandal.
All right, I don't really follow Scandal or The Good Wife.
Scandal.
Claire Danes. You know, everyone hated this season of Homeland, but I actually kind of liked it. But I always thought Claire Danes just overacted that little amount, so I'm not going to put her at the top of the category. Lizzie Kaplan, she could surprise. She was someone that I only knew from comedy, and to see her in this Mad Men-esque drama in Masters of Sex that seems to have caught people's attention, I've been quite impressed by. So... yeah, I think she'd probably actually be my pick. I'd pick her over Robin Wright.
Okay, Kaplan, interesting. Poor Michael Sheen. Like, he's in The Queen, going toe-to-toe with Helen Mirren. She gets nominated for the Oscar and wins it. He gets left out. Frost Nixon, he goes toe-to-toe with Frank Langella. Frank Langella gets nominated for the Oscar. Michael Sheen misses out. And then Masters of Sex comes along. He goes toe-to-toe with Lizzie Kaplan. Lizzie Kaplan gets nominated for the Emmy. Michael Sheen gets left out. Tom, what do you think about these ladies?
I think Michael Sheen should take the hint, don't you?
Get out of acting?
Get the hell out of that. Yeah. Get out. Go away. Nobody cares. No, he's good. He's good in all those things. I think Lizzie Kaplan could pull off an upset. She's the one apple in a bag of oranges here. She's very different from everyone else. She's very appealing, very winning. She has only one little scene where she's very emotional. It's this kind of slapping scene she has with her lover out on this terrace at night. But it's not. There's no great acting there. But she's just. You know, other people have won just for being charming and sweet. I think that Robin Wright is out of this because her episode is so bad. She submitted the finale where she just has this one little crime scene on the steps. That's it. I think any of the other dames can win. Michelle Dockery actually cracks some emotion as the character Mary in Downton Abbey. That's a shockeroo. She deals with the death of her lover. She actually cries. Kerry Washington is excellent in her episode. I could actually see her winning, and if she does, she'll be the first African-American, you know, star ever to win this category. Juliana Margulies submitted the one where her lover dies. Josh Charles, she's mostly moping and just mooning around throughout the whole time, but you feel it. It's very deeply felt. It's a good performance. I'm sticking with Claire Danes, though. She's won twice in the past 2 years. I think her performance this year is even bigger. I agree with Jonathan, it's over the top, but this is an episode where we see her announcing her pregnancy, so she's kind of got the tender side, and then we watch her having to watch the execution of her lover, Damian Lewis, and it's pretty horrifying.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time an over-the-top performance has won an award. Yeah, I know, you've written the book on awards, and I feel like there's a few over-the-top ones that get mentioned in your books. It's an interesting field. Like, I think Robin Wright would have won this if she'd submitted that episode where she talks about when she was sexually abused on national TV, and that's a very emotional episode for her. She could still win because of her name and the show, and she's still quite good in her episode, but she's gone from firm front runner to someone struggling to stay alive in the race. Kerry Washington could be a good year for her, like, with this field. Like, where there isn't one sort of impossible front runner. I just hope that this year they haven't done what they did last year, where before her category was announced, they got someone to come up and just spend 5 minutes talking about how great it would be if Kerry Washington won the Emmy.
Yeah.
I feel like that was tempting fate a bit. I feel like never get someone to come up and give a monologue on how good it would be if this person won. Julianna Margulies, I think, is my pick. And I'll probably stick with her. Just because I feel like there's Good Wife had a big bounce back this year. People, and this is where it can get rewarded. A woman from this show has won every season of The Good Wife. It's been on the air. And I just feel like in this field, she's someone who's very liked, Julianna Margulies. She made it back into the race this year. But boy, I'm not, this is one of my least confident categories because I can see them really going in any number of directions.
Yeah, they could.
So I'm very unconfident, inconfident or unconfident? Do we have a ruling, guys?
Non-confident?
I'm not confident. a non-confident. A non-confident Julianna Margulies prediction.
Lizzie Kaplan based on likability.
Again, we've got a three-way split. We've got Danes, Kaplan, and whoever I said. So, let's go to the best drama series race, where we've got Breaking Bad, last year's winner, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, House of Cards, The Mad Men, and True Detective. Jonathan, what do you think?
Oh, man, this is... You've gone to In-N-Out and you've ordered the 4x4. This is just stacked. It's just heavy hitter after heavy hitter. Breaking Bad, final season, my favorite season. True Detective, my favorite new show of the year. Awesome season of House of Cards. Mad Men, I don't actually like Mad Men as much as everyone else, but it's been a great show for so many years. Game of Thrones, great season for Game of Thrones. I always loved it. Last season I thought was a bit shaky. This season was great. And if you swapped out Downton Abbey for Boardwalk Empire, this would be my list of favorite shows. So, huge category. I think, I don't know if you're going to be able to go past that finale of Breaking Bad, because I was always someone that really enjoyed Breaking Bad, but was just half a level below everybody else. And even this final season, I thought was a bit shaky, but that is arguably the best series finale of all time, and that should be enough to win an Emmy.
Tom, can they go past Breaking Bad?
No, nobody can get past it. It's just, there would be a revolution in the streets if it didn't win. Look, the only thing going against it really is the fact that it been off TV for, what, a year and a half now. But there are other shows. Homeland, the year it won, it had been off the air for almost, a year plus months. Mad Men, one of the years it won, it had been off due to its kooky season placements. It had been almost this long before we had seen in its last episode. So, Breaking Bad it is. I don't think anybody disagrees. You don't disagree with that, do you, Matt?
No, look, and you're on the ground in Hollywood, Tom, more than I am in Sydney. But, like, I just like to know, like, it seems to me that the buzz for Breaking Bad is still bigger than the buzz for any of these other shows, even though it aired the longest ago. That's almost, like, unprecedented. Like, because, you know, I remember last year Game of Thrones had a surge of buzz, and then the Breaking Bad final season started airing and overtook it. But really, Breaking Bad started with the most buzz, and no show has come along to surmount that thing. And that's sort of, I don't know a show that's been off this long that has still so much goodwill and people talking about it. So I don't know if anyone's going to rank this lower than second on their list, to be honest. And, you know, we know this category, they don't mind awarding things again. Mad Men won 4 times, West Wing won 4 times, Sopranos won twice. So they're not going to be like...
Yeah, but very few series have won for their final season. Sopranos did, Everybody Loves Raymond did. But generally, every time we think this is going to happen, oh, Cheers, you know, they all loved it. But, you know, we keep thinking these things that happen, they lose.
Mm.
So we have to be careful with our certitude here.
And look, we can't be too certain because I could see True Detective winning.
Yes, it could.
Like, I think it's new on the scene. It's got, like, two big heavy hitters at the front of it. It's got that pretension about it.
Lots of pretension.
It's a HBO show. It's the most pretentious show in the lineup.
Yes. Overblown, pretentious dribble, yes.
Yeah, my verdict on True Detective, and Jonathan, you can correct me if I'm being hypocritical from when we did the True Detective podcast, but is that it was fine. It was good. I didn't dislike it, but it was a bit of a slog to get through, and it's definitely nothing special.
Thank you.
Was my sort of view on the True. Is that fair, Jonathan? Is that what I had actually said?
Yeah, so, I think you gave it a 7, as usual.
7 out of 10, yeah. Half of the course for me.
A couple of weeks ago, Bonnie said to me, and she hasn't watched Breaking Bad. She just came home one day. She's like, "I got to start watching Breaking Bad. People just won't shut up about it." And I said, "I said it's been off the air for months. Why are people talking about Breaking Bad?" And she's like, "I don't know, but everyone just loves it." So that's an example of how much people still are passionate about Breaking Bad. And yeah, I think it takes it.
Wouldn't it be great if the presenter who was presenting Best Drama Series opened the envelope and just said, "Oh boy, people won't shut up about this. Breaking Bad."
That's right. But you know, they do have somebody standing in the wings in case somebody, as a joke or just maliciously, says Downton Abbey. You know, that they do have somebody there to ready to jump on stage at any minute if somebody fucks with the real answer.
Yeah. I would love that if, like, when it got announced and it was just so obviously a joke, just the whole audience, like, laughed. Mm-hmm. Like, the winner is Downton Abbey. And it was, good one. Okay. get out someone who's not a joke clown to announce it. Yeah. Oh, boy. What a rate. Like, yeah. So House of Cards could win too, I think. I feel like House of Cards, in one sense, part of the Emmy voters would love to give it to House of Cards because it would be historic.
Yes, it would. And it's the West Wing, you know, with anti-heroes instead of heroes, in the same way that Veep is the West Wing with laughs. And they love these big, important presidential series. And I agree with Jonathan 100%. This second season was really good. I thought the first season was weak. The second season was magnificent.
Yeah, it was, Second Season House of Cards, very good. Probably the second most pretentious show in the lineup.
That's
House
true.
Of Cards. It's definitely, I love it. I think it's great. But they've got that political angle, they've got that Shakespearean angle with the monologues to the camera and things. Like, it's a very appealing show to Academy members, and it would be a new story. Like, it would be a House of Netflix has won best series. You know, the Academy embraces new way of watching TV in a really big way. But I think with the way they do the voting at the Emmys, not many people are going to vote Breaking Bad low. I think it's going to get a very good score. So
right, and what Matt's talking about here is that we had it confirmed recently that it's that the voters rank 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of the 6 nominees, and the lowest score wins. It's not a case of the show with the most number one votes winning.
Does that mean, and you might not know the answer to this, Tom, but does that mean if you voted just one, you just voted for your first preference, your ballot gets thrown out?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they just give that one show its 1 point and then move on.
But then
the other shows are effectively getting zero
points.
Yeah, right.
But that's
even better than giving them a one.
I see what you're saying. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I guess they would have to throw it out.
I think you've got to do all six for the system to work.
Yeah. Otherwise, the shows that don't get voted for get a that is where the Downton Abbey wins.
Right.
Everyone ranked Breaking Bad first, didn't take anything else on. So Breaking Bad is with a score of, you know, 200, and everyone else got zero.
A 5-point tie.
Anyway, next year when we speak to the Emmy chief again, we can ask him to clarify what happens to those ballots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Put it on the list.
All
right. Thanks so much, guys. I've got to actually make a dash.
Oh, your Hollywood lifestyle, Jonathan, is. Well, what fancy Hollywood do are you going to now?
I'm picking Bonnie up from work. She walks to work because it's not that far away. But then I come pick her up because it's a night. You never know what can go down in LA at night time. Some crazy stuff happens, man.
It's. Yeah. I, yeah. Okay, very, very good boyfriend award to Jonathan Cook, Malay's girlfriend walking home from work on her own. Okay, so we'll let you get to that, Jonathan. Do we need to say goodbye or something for the listeners?
Well, thanks so much, Tom, for coming on. One of the most entertaining and craziest guests we have.
Certainly with strong opinions. Well, thanks for suffering through those crazy opinions. And thanks for having me on, you guys.
All right. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed listening. Stay tuned to the Emmys and you can see who got the most of our outrageous predictions correct. And we'll catch you next week.